It's been called worship wars. Many Christian churches are experimenting with different styles of worship in order to attract new members. Some older, traditional Christians berate the movement as pandering to a lower standard. Classical music competes with Christian rock and rap. Lecture-style sermons are replaced with dramatic plays. Does it matter how a Christian worships God? These are the headlines. In a moment, we're going to look at the important news behind the headlines.
Welcome to the Good News Program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. The Good News doesn't try to cover up today's problems. This is a program that dares to look at today's dilemmas and ask the questions that must be asked. It seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. Please join Gary Petty for a discussion of today's Good News subject.
Why do most Christians select the church where they attend? Why do you attend where you attend? Convenience? A good nursery? The choir? Some churches are actually competing for members in what has been called worship wars. David Palmer explains.
Worship wars. What does that mean? Well, in simple terms, Gary, it means that churches are now trying to find ways to attract, especially young people, to their weekly services. Churches are adding a variety of techniques, from skits and plays based on popular TV shows to a variety of music. The styles of music vary tremendously. For example, according to a research organization, almost half of all Protestant churches use music to enhance their chances of gaining followers. Some churches put more emphasis on music than on a message. In fact, a small number of churches don't even have a spoken message. The entire service becomes what they call a worship service, and that means worship music. Music performed in a variety of styles, from traditional to blended, a combination of two or more styles, to contemporary Christian, as it's called, to what is labeled gospel, and even a form of Christian rock. It's quite common to see a church stage filled with instruments from guitars and drums to saxophones and tambourines. As a result, some churches are enduring painful divisions. Almost half of the churchgoers surveyed felt the purpose of a worship service was for personal benefit, and that entertaining music played an important role, while senior pastors surveyed described the purpose of church services to connect with God. Some of those who stick to those traditional methods are losing the battle. Congregations are getting smaller, while the more progressive churches, with the added bonus of music for all tastes, are winning what has been labeled worship wars.
A few decades ago, it was common for people to dress up to go to church. Now the come-as-you-are shorts and halter tops dress is becoming acceptable in many churches, trying to reach a younger audience. Are these trends positive in reaching out to new Christians, or has something gone wrong in the concept of worship? For many Christians, the biblical answer to this question is going to be surprising. We have with us in our Good News studio Ed Smith, a longtime minister in the United Church of God. Ed, thanks for joining us today.
You're most welcome, Gary, and greetings to all of you listening in today.
Okay, let's begin our discussion today by simply defining worship.
Webster's Collegiate Dictionary gives the answer, worship, as reverence or devotion. Secondly, it says it's a church service or another rite to show this. The Greek word worship merely means to revere, adore, honor, or do obeisance to a deity. One thing we need to know when we study into worship is that the Bible does talk about a worship that God desires in John 4. In fact, he says this is the worshiper that God desires, one who worships him in spirit and truth. That means through the Spirit of God guiding, and of course according to his truth, because his word is truth. Unacceptable worship is also described in Matthew 15, verses 8 and 9, where Jesus is quoting from the book of Isaiah, when he said, "You're like those in Isaiah's time. You draw near to me with your lips, you show much praise, but your heart is far from me. In vain do you worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." So what we want to do is make sure that our worship is that which is acceptable to God.
So it is interesting. It is possible, then, to worship God in vain.
Absolutely. Jesus said so. He said, you reject the commandments of God to keep your own traditions. So just traditional worship, we must question that and see if it is in harmony with God and His Word.
We're going to challenge the way you look at Christian worship, so don't go away. We'll be back right after this.
Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy begins the fourth commandment. Why did God consider the Sabbath so important that He included it in the Ten Commandments? Today, the Sabbath command is almost universally ignored and considered irrelevant in modern society. But is it? Our booklet, Sunset to Sunset, God's Sabbath Rest, will show you why God created the Sabbath and help you discover its vital relevance for Christians today. It will show you from the pages of your Bible what the truth is and what it means for you. Call right now for your free copy, 1-800-966-9232. Request your copy of Sunset to Sunset and discover this surprising truth Jesus Christ taught. Call 1-800-966-9232. Your free copy is waiting for you. Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org.
We're back on Good News Radio discussing worship wars, the debate over acceptable styles of worship services in Christian churches. You know, during the time of Jesus, the Jewish people, as of course many still do today, observed the Sabbath day. And, of course, that was part of the Ten Commandments that had been given to them. Now, it wasn't long ago in the United States that Sunday was observed as a day of worship. Many states used to have laws forbidding businesses to open on Sunday. I can remember that when I was a child. We still find vestiges of these old laws in some states that limit maybe the sale of liquor on Sunday, that type of thing. How did mainstream Christianity, even in this country, move away from a concept of a day of worship to sort of, just going to church for an hour and then rushing off to a football game?
Well, obviously, it didn't happen overnight. In our present society, we've come from a slower pace of God-fearing people to a fast-paced, high-technology world with short attention spans and a desire for immediate self-satisfaction or gratification, which seemingly leaves little time for God and proper worship. With over three-quarter century of life, I've seen these events happen from just a young boy till this fast pace we live in today. Paul described these conditions in 2 Timothy, the third chapter. If you look there, in those first few verses, he said in this end time, this time that the fruits and the things we see about us certainly indicates we're in a stressful time when man loves himself. It says he would be a lover of pleasure more than a lover of God. He would have a form of religion or worship, but he would deny it as a power to change his life. So Paul very well described exactly what we have seen happen over the last few decades.
Worship, I guess, is more of a show than an actual experience of reverence towards God. Now, let's go back to the New Testament. When we look at Jesus and the early New Testament church, do we find the concept of a day of worship, not just some quick service you go to and sing some songs and that's worship?
Well, we certainly do. In fact, the Sabbath, or the subject of the Sabbath, is mentioned over 61 times in the New Testament, 50 of those being in the Gospels, and they have to do where Jesus, in a very detailed way, showed how the Sabbath was kept, making statements like, it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath. You do this or that on the Sabbath day. In fact, in Luke 4:16, it said Jesus came to Nazareth where he grew up, and he, as his custom was, went into the synagogue on the Sabbath, stood up to read, they handed him the book, he opened to Isaiah, and read some scriptures which showed he was that very Messiah that Isaiah was predicting. We find over in the New Testament history, which is in the book of Acts, where on Acts 17:2, the same thing is said of Paul. He, as his custom was, went into the synagogue and reasoned with them out of the scriptures. So the New Testament has much to say about the Sabbath.
You know, I find it fascinating that in Acts, Paul continues to go into the synagogue or continues to keep the Sabbath, even with Gentiles, not just with the Jews, but Gentiles that were becoming Christians, they continue to keep the Sabbath day.
That's a very important point, Gary. A lot of people will say, well, Paul only went there because he wanted to reach the Jews. Actually, there were more and more Gentiles coming on board to the point that it made the Jews jealous, and they ran Paul out of town. And then it says the Gentiles besought that these things might be taught to them the next Sabbath. And the next Sabbath came almost the whole city together to hear Paul. And this really infuriated the Jews. So Jew and Gentile alike were right there in the synagogue on the Sabbath listening to Paul preach.
And, of course, all biblical scholars recognize that the Sabbath of the Bible and the Sabbath that Jesus and the apostles kept was the seventh day, what we call Saturday today. Now, if Jesus and the apostles observed the seventh-day Sabbath, why do most Christians go to church on Sunday?
Well, we are creatures of habit, and we usually do what we do without questioning the validity of it. That's a long study of how in the 2 centuries that followed that first apostolic century in the age of the apostles and Jesus and his teaching. The many changes that came on in the time that followed in the next couple of centuries, where slowly but surely the Sabbath was being relegated as Judaizing, and the first day of the week began to come on. Actually, this came about over a period of time, finally, until man was powerless to try to resist the powers of the state, which made it official law in the 4th century.
Is it possible that the issues of worship wars aren't even asking the right questions? Music, drama, and new style of teaching can be helpful in bringing the gospel to a new generation. But these are the trappings of worship. Have you been going to church to worship God and have your life changed? Or are you going to be entertained? We'll be back right after these messages.
Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy begins the 4th commandment. Why did God consider the Sabbath so important that he included it in the 10 commandments? Today, the Sabbath command is almost universally ignored and considered irrelevant in modern society. But is it? Our booklet, Sunset to Sunset, God's Sabbath Rest, will show you why God created the Sabbath and help you discover its vital relevance for Christians today. It will show you from the pages of your Bible what the truth is and what it means for you. Call right now for your free copy. 1-800-966-9232. Request your copy of Sunset to Sunset and discover this surprising truth Jesus Christ taught. Call 1-800-966-9232. Your free copy is waiting for you.
Are you tired of hearing nothing but bad news? Well, here's some good news. You can receive a year's subscription to the Good News Magazine absolutely free. The Good News Magazine isn't a Pollyannish cover-up of today's problems. It is a magazine that dares to look at today's problems and ask the questions that must be asked. The Good News seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered in the pages of your Bible. Today's radio program is sponsored by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. Your free subscription to the Good News has already been paid. You will never be sent a bill or be obligated in any way. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. That's 1-800-966-9232 for your free subscription to the good news behind the headlines.
Well, we're back in the final segment of today's Good News Radio. We've been discussing going to church with Minister Ed Smith. You know, Ed, I think most Christians claim that they keep the Ten Commandments, yet the Fourth Commandment says, remember the Sabbath day. Why is this the most, it seems like, ignored of all the commandments?
Well, it's incredible, Gary, that the only commandment that states remember is the one that man seemingly wants to forget. In Exodus, the 31st chapter, God repeatedly states that the Sabbath is a sign between himself and his people so that they would know him as the true God and he would recognize them, of course, as his people. Over in Romans, the 1st chapter, the 28th verse, is an alarming statement. It states that man did not like to retain God in his knowledge. So it became apparent if man leaves God out of his knowledge, and that would include Sabbath, God's laws, and so on, he would turn over to all kinds of things, and that's exactly what Romans goes on to explain, to all kinds of licentiousness and so on. So it seems that man feels he knows a better way, and that, of course, has been seemingly man's dubious history all the time from Adam. He felt he knew a better way.
But, of course, now, most Christians are going to say that the Sabbath was for those people in the Old Testament, that there's New Testament support for keeping Sunday as a special day of worship. In fact, let me read. This is from Acts 20, verse 7, and I'm reading from the Living Bible, that translation. It says, on Sunday we gathered for a communion service with Paul preaching. Now, aren't verses like this proof that Christians shouldn't be keeping a seventh-day Sabbath but a first-day Sabbath?
Well, actually, the Living Bible, for all of its worth and easy reading, is not literally a translation. It is a paraphrase where the author put into just modern, free-flowing English what he felt the scripture teaching might be. And this is one of those particular cases where he really deviates from the original Greek. Actually, if you check any reputable translation, they will show you that it was not on a Sunday. This was not talking about communion at all, but was at the beginning of the week, which would be a Saturday night for us, the day's beginning and ending at sunset. So actually what happened here in Acts 20, verse 7, was that the Sabbath had ended. They came together for a common meal, as William Barclay points out, and Paul preached all the time up till midnight. After an incident that happened with a young man falling out of the loft sleepy, and so it shows you it's a nighttime event happening, they ate their meal. Then Paul talked the rest of the night till daybreak, and then walked across from Troas to Assos the whole next day. So it was certainly not a worship service at all. It was a last-minute discussion Paul had with his disciples before leaving them there in Troas.
Yeah, that's fascinating. I think a lot of people, you know, we count our days from midnight to midnight, don't realize that in New Testament times, in the Jewish environment, day started from sundown to sundown. So First day of the week is Saturday night, I mean, if it's beginning.
Right.
And now, but isn't it true also, though, that the New Testament calls Sunday the Lord's Day?
Well, in our King James Version, and most all versions will give you that, Revelation 1:10, where, again, the setting is that John is on the Isle of Patmos and as a prisoner, and he said it was on the Lord's Day, or he came to be in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Now, this is the only place that you'll find Lord's Day mentioned in the entire Bible. Many commentators will point out that this is not talking about a particular day of week of worship, but he's talking about a period of time called, repeatedly in the Bible, the Day of the Lord. That time when God intervenes in the affairs of man to bring men down to his senses and into subjection. So it's a period of time called Day of the Lord. So actually it is not at all setting up a Sunday as the Lord's Day. There is no way to prove that whatsoever. Now, I know they try to use Acts 20, verse 7, which we just discussed, as one of those, but it can be proven there is nowhere Sunday observance is justified in the New Testament.
You know, and for those listening, get your Bible. We always invite you to get your Bible and follow along. Read. Look up Revelation chapter 1, verse 10, and you'll see that the Lord's Day is mentioned. But you'll notice that Sunday is not mentioned at all. And, of course, as we're talking about here, Ed, with the day of the Lord as a specific time period referring to the coming of the Messiah.
It is amazing, Gary, that if you want to say the Lord's Day and use it as such, there is only one day Jesus said he was Lord of, back in Mark 2:28, when he told them that Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath day. So that's the only day that he says he's Lord of. Of course, he's master of all and ruler of all, but the day that he says he's Lord of is the Sabbath.
It's interesting because obviously Christ is our Lord and master of every aspect of our lives, but he chose one day and said, that's a special day.
Exactly.
So how did the early church's observance of this seventh-day Sabbath, which we know Jesus did, we know the apostles did, we know the early Gentiles did, how did that get changed to Sunday?
Well, as the church grew there after the age of the apostles, many pagans began to come into the church. And they brought right along with them their customs and their former beliefs, one of which was sun worship. They had always been worshipers of Saul, the sun god, and it was on Sunday or the first day of the week. So as time went on in the second and third century, it brought on a great controversy where there were more and more people who wanted the first day of the week, which they'd always been accustomed to, rather than the Jewish Sabbath, which had been the established way. And so that finally led to church councils that had to settle this, and it was settled by edict of man, not a command of God, that therefore man would stop Judaizing and begin to worship on the venerable day of the sun, Sunday, and it became official state law.
Now, I guess this is the most important question in everything we've been discussing today. Does it really matter to God which day we set aside for worship as long as we take time for praise and prayer?
Well, obviously, we should take time for praise and prayer every day at any time we want to. Obviously, we should be praying people, and we should certainly thank God and praise him for all of the good things he's done for us, all of his blessings and so on. But what we have to ask ourselves, has God changed? Has he changed along the way some way, somehow, that we can bring on a different day, a different time of worship? Well, we read in Malachi 3:6 where God specifically says, I am the Lord and I change not. We read in Hebrews 13:8 that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He also said, Jesus repeatedly said on numerous occasions, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away till it's all in force, being fulfilled. So therefore, if God changes not and his word is not done away with, then obviously there is no way that we can change to another day, because that would be violating the very scriptures that tell us which day we should keep.
Well, Ed, we're about out of time, but thanks for talking with us today on Good News Radio.
You're certainly welcome. I enjoyed the opportunity.
If you're really seeking to worship God in truth and spirit, you need to read Sunset to Sunset, God's Sabbath Rest. For your free copy, call 1-800-966-9232. That's 1-800-966-9232. And from our email box, Jerry listens to Good News Radio out of Indianapolis, and he writes, I find your show very informative and thought-provoking. I'll have to do some more studying and praying. But it seems I have to unlearn some things I have always believed. Well, Jerry, keep studying the Bible. All of us have a lot of unlearning to do if we're going to be Christians and more than just name. And if you would like to email us on Good News Radio, the address is gnradio@ucg.org. That's gnradio@ucg.org. Why were you born? There's a big difference between grasping the future God wants for you and simply going on the way you have been. The choice is up to you. Join us next time when we continue to explore what the Bible really says about you and your future. For Good News Radio, I'm Gary Petty.
Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy begins the fourth commandment. Why did God consider the Sabbath so important that he included it in the Ten Commandments? Today, the Sabbath command is almost universally ignored, and considered irrelevant in modern society. But is it? Our booklet, Sunset to Sunset, God's Sabbath Rest, will show you why God created the Sabbath and help you discover its vital relevance for Christians today. It will show you from the pages of your Bible what the truth is and what it means for you. Call right now for your free copy, 1-800-966-9232. Request your copy of Sunset to Sunset and discover this surprising truth Jesus Christ taught. Call 1-800-966-9232. Your free copy is waiting for you.
Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org. You've been listening to the Good News Radio Program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. We seek the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. To receive your free copy of the literature offered on today's program, please call toll-free 1-800-966-9232. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232.